Jeff, as we see with many bills, some of them keep getting killed, and year after year, much like zombies, they keep coming back. Redistricting reform, dead again for the 2017 session.
House Republicans in particular are hostile to any change in the manner in which Virginia draws its legislative maps. However, it's been quite clear, at least through the demonstrations at some of these subcommittee meetings, that there are more and more people who are growing more and more concerned about the consequences of partisan gerrymandering, most notably in a divided government, its inability to function effectively. Republicans are resistant to any change in the process, any attempt to depoliticize the process, because they fear that it will diminish their power. And having been shut out of power at the statewide level, their hold on the legislature becomes all the more important. There are a couple of wild cards, however, that could ultimately force a change. One, there's a case before the United States Supreme Court that challenges 12 majority African American districts as unfair, that this constitutes racial gerrymandering. If the Supreme Court were to disrupt that plan, it could force a wholesale rewrite of the House map. There is a challenge working its way into the state courts under which a redistricting reform group, One Virginia 2021, is alleging that House and Senate plans violate the state constitutional provisions for redistricting, that districts are compact and contiguous and reflect shared interests. If one were to look at some of these maps as, shall we say, artistic rendering, more and more of them look like half-nibbled cookies, dead insects on windscreens, and roadkill.
The latest snapshot from Quinnipiac University indicates that the Commonwealth may return to the old Virginia curse pattern.
The Virginia curse pattern being that the party that wins the national election, the presidential election, loses the Virginia gubernatorial election the following year. Of course, Trump, a Republican, is in the White House. He did not carry Virginia. Quinnipiac poll indicates that both Democratic candidates for governor, Ralph Northam and Tom Perriello, would defeat all of the four candidates on the Republican side for the Republican nomination for governor. What's really interesting about this poll, this snapshot, is that the Democratic contest is now a dead heat. Tom Perriello announced for office barely a month ago, and Ralph Northam had a year and a half head start. This suggests growing unease among Democrats, particularly, I suspect, with Ralph Northam's low-key style. Tom Perriello comes across as very energetic, an unapologetic liberal, someone who's prepared to take the fight to Republicans. Northam has been running more of a general election campaign, believing that the nomination, the Democratic nomination, was his, and trying to appeal to those independents and Republican leaners who decide elections in Virginia. A lot can happen between now and the June primary in both parties. One thing that I think we've learned a bit about Tom Perriello is that maybe he's a bit overeager, at least verbally. He generated some difficulty this week with Democrats and Republicans when he said that President Trump's election was the political equivalent of the 9/11 terror attacks. And that raised eyebrows across the political spectrum.
And Dominion Virginia Power has defeated another bill that runs counter to their agenda. This one would strengthen requirements for reporting coal ash levels in surrounding bodies of water.
The utility is accustomed to getting its way. This is certainly a reminder that that pattern has not changed. This, of course, had to do with the manner in which the company manages toxic stuff that Greens would tell you represent a serious threat to the environment. Bottom line here is that this is a company with an enormous amount of pull in the legislature. It's prevailing time and time again. This is the latest in a series of data points that includes turning down efforts to reinstate full state oversight of the process under which it can raise its rates. And as a reminder that the company is moving forward, it seems with considerable success, on plans to erect a natural gas pipeline that would stretch across Virginia. And it would promise to be an even faster growing and more lucrative line of business than electric generation.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week.
And 1 week to go. Have a great weekend.